Om Shanti. Good evening to everyone. So it's a few days until we converge mentally or physically on the first day when Bap Dada comes this season. So we are preparing for that mentally, physically, spiritually, in so many ways. Last season, on the first meeting and on the last meeting, Baba didn't come. And what we did on both of those meetings was we had a meeting in the avyakt form through meditation. And I think that at the present time, wherever I go, people are feeling change happening. Are you feeling change happening? Change also means uncertainty. And Baba has made us very comfortable in the middle of uncertainty by the way that he has been teaching us and training us. The most certain thing of all is that Baba is assessing us, assessing our stage. And Baba's very aware, and we are very aware, that whether you're alive or dead, it's actually not much different, right? Because you're a soul. I'm a soul. We are souls. We operate more and more and more on the level of the soul so that I am always there, whether in the body or not in the body. We could be in the physical consciousness, which is a costume, body consciousness, or we could be in the consciousness of the confluence age, which is another costume. We could be in the consciousness of the avyakt stage, which Baba calls the shining dress, a shining, sparkling dress. Or we could be in the incorporeal consciousness. So Baba has been getting us used to moving, shifting easily from one state of consciousness to another, from being present here to suddenly present somewhere else, shifting from performances. Baba has said we are actors, so we shift our performance from one type of activity to another, to another, to another, very quickly and very easily. So Baba has been giving us this training for such a long time. And now that the world is also pretty much feeling that things are very uncertain, very unstable, and for us this uncertainty and instability is quite okay. Oh, this is very good. I've been talking too much and consequently what I wanted to talk about actually is accountability. And when we talk about the final period of time or the end game, some people also call it the time of reckoning. And so there is the whole question of our relationship with our as yet unresolved negative outstanding karmic accounts. We may still have some unresolved karmic accounts with some other people, whether it is Lokik, our family members or work colleagues or anyone else around, or whether it is between and amongst us within the divine family. Because during this confluence age, there are lots of things going on, and now we're feeling it's getting more and more intense. So there's a sense of change, there's a sense of intensity. And I'm wanting to talk about accountability because I think it's absolutely a helpful thing to keep us kind of on the ball and sharp and with it and aware and all of this. There's also the question I'd like to bring into the equation, the question of endurance. Endurance. Usually you think of endurance as connected with a marathon, or there's some kinds of sports where endurance is important. We also talk about being in it for the long haul. And you know that when we come in Gyan and we do a 7 days course and we think that in 7 days we can understand Raj Yoga, until maybe the third or fourth day we may wake up to the realization that no, this is 7 days a week for the rest of your life. And we grow, you know. I mean, we're growing from youth to old age, those of us who have been in this for many decades. You're also maturing physically and psychologically and socially and in all the different ways. We're maturing spiritually as well as the other aspects of just the journey of life. But endurance is important because there are many, many things that want to make us give up. And I heard that in among those who practice for the marathon, they say that the last 3 hours is the most difficult. So we need to be just very aware that we must stay kind of spiritually fit, you know. Because even if we're getting older, and many of us are indeed passing beyond the age of 60, how many are beyond the age of 60? 1, 2, 3, quite a few, you know. And it is said somewhere in India that you're only really to be considered as a serious yogi in terms of the path of bhakti and all this when you've been doing it for 50 years. So this thing of what happens to a person over a long, long period of time. Now, of course, time is very, very relative. You could think a month is a long time. But when Baba talks about a long time, he says that it's really those who've been able to keep up the practice for a long period of time that can actually accumulate sustainable strength, you know. So I think this sustainable strength is a very important aspect. And it's also connected with endurance, because you have to be able to, I think the power to keep on going on, perseverance, is connected with endurance. We have to endure, not in the sense of suffer, but endure in the sense of just keep going, keep going, keep going. Keep putting one foot ahead of the other foot. This is a daily practice. And one of the problems that people have when something becomes routine is you lose interest. Yeah? You get slack. So if you want to be really skilled in something and really develop that sanskar, you have to do it every day, every day, every day, every day. And we're not doing Raj Yoga as a sport, but if you're doing something as a sport, your sport may last as long as you're young and fit, you know, and when you get older, then you become a coach or something. But for us, it's mental. And the mind is getting refined all the time, all the time. We're listening to Murlis that are repeating every 5 years, but we're going deeper and deeper and deeper. And so we actually, if we tune, if we study, we will not experience the Murli to be repetitive. We will not experience our yoga practice to be repetitive. But we will enjoy this continuous refining and strengthening process that's going on. And I think that it's very wonderful that Baba has told us, you are student teachers. Because when you're teaching someone, or as soon as you find yourself in any sort of teaching role or position, which can happen spontaneously any time, you immediately go to your treasure and you begin to bring it out and you begin to be donating the jewels of knowledge. And whenever we are doing something like that, it immediately brings us into enthusiasm, brings us into the experience of what we're talking about, you know, so that it gives it that renewed feeling, that fresh feeling. So going to accountability. Accountability is sometimes referred to as, which you hear Dadi Jenghi mentioning, or she used to mention a lot, not now so much, but the idea of giving the return. When a person is very hungry, very thirsty, very spiritually depleted, then all you can think about is receiving. And we can only, at that level, we can only receive so much. And then something stops us receiving any more. Once you start to give what has been received, then you're creating this flow. And so we experience that if we want to be able to receive more, we have to digest well and we have to give it. Excuse me. So what have we received? Sometimes we forget. We've received knowledge from the Supreme Being. Excuse me. I sometimes see people wandering off into various other little human spiritual practices. Because, you know, whenever God comes, there are always many, many false gods. We know that. It's there in all the scriptures of all the religions. But one thing we also know, because of the way the knowledge is that everything that has been figured out or discovered or made into a tradition or whatever in the human world actually originates in God. And this period of the confluence age is the time when all of this is given. And sometimes Baba says that you have to be very aware that you're creators, master creators, and not to be impressed by the creation. You know, sometimes if we create something and then we get impressed by our own creation, and then Baba says that that creation takes over the creator. Or sometimes he talks about time. He says time is also your creation. But if you wait for time, then time becomes your creator, or you come under the influence of your creator. So knowledge also is like that. And knowledge comes first before yoga. So first knowledge, then yoga, then dharana, and then service. So knowledge is what? Knowledge is not something that you listen to the Murli and then repeat what you've said, or what you've heard said, or what you've heard somebody read. You know, that's not knowledge. Repeating the Murli is good when you're in the very early stages of knowledge. Just as in the school system, they teach children to repeat the two times table, or, you know, there are some elements of education which involve just committing something to memory. But the knowledge itself is very, very easy to commit to memory. You're a soul, you reincarnate, Baba is the supreme soul, there are the three worlds, there's the philosophy of karma, and all of this is easy to repeat. But what Daddy used to talk to us about a lot is digesting. So digesting and churning is very, very essential. So if you look at the things that Baba has been telling us over the period of the Avyat Murlis, the first, maybe up until the 90s, Baba was elaborating on the essential knowledge that was all given in the Sakar Murlis, right? I've seen Murlis which you can actually connect to a Sakar Murli, one line of a Sakar Murli you can see as an entire 3 or 4 or 5 page Avyat Murli. So there was the elaboration of the essential knowledge. And then there are many Avyat Murlis in which Baba is making us aware that he is assessing us and asking us to assess ourselves. So there's, you know, committing to memory, there's elaboration, there's going into the depth, there's self-assessment. And all of this leads to yoga. I see. So yoga What is yoga exactly? Sometimes Baba says, the ones that I love are the knowledgeable souls. And in the Gita, it talks about three kinds of people who relate to God. And one kind is those who are able to really understand what he's saying while he's saying it and who is saying it. That's the first kind, the number one kind. The number two kind are the people who have heard about it and they think, yeah, it sounds good, you know. So they can't really understand it. But they can understand that it's pretty good. If they would be able to understand it, it would be really marvelous. But they don't understand it, but they just know that it's good. Even though they don't really know what it is. So that's the second kind. And then the third kind is they know it's being talked about, but they haven't a clue what it is. They go along with it without having a clue. So what we want to be is this number one kind, to really, really understand. And Baba's knowledge is really in very, very simple words. And when you read a few lines of the Murli in those very simple words, it's easy to think that, oh, this is just simple words. I already know this. And then you skip over to the next bit and the next bit, then you finish it. But it's superficial. And superficial study of the Murli will not enable us to gather the energy that the knowledge can create, this energy that allows us to actually be in yoga with Baba. And so the digesting and the churning and the explaining to other people, all of these things that we do with the knowledge is a kind of refinement of the fuel, you see. Because then what we do is we practice yoga. But practicing yoga is very different from having yoga. See? So we do a lot of disciplines, which are the practices of yoga. And the practicing of yoga, we will sit for specific periods of time. Like we will sit for Amrit Vela, we will sit for evening meditation, we will stop for traffic controls, and all of these are disciplines, you see. And when you're having yoga as a discipline, that is a practice to be able to have yoga. Because without these disciplines of practice of yoga, you can't actually sing with the yoga. Do you see what I'm saying? So it is comparable to somebody who's a professional musician. They have to practice. And when a musician is practicing, it's not very interesting for anyone to listen to. They're doing scales, they're doing arpeggios, they're doing rims, all sorts of things, in order to be able to sing when it comes to the real thing, you see. So I think that we need to be very aware of these two things, the way that we digest and churn the knowledge to be able to gather this refined fuel that will send us up. And as well as that, the specific disciplines of sitting for meditation, so that when any serendipitous sudden moment is there where you just think of Baba and you fly, you see, that is possible when all of this other stuff has been going on, you see. And the dharana, very, very essential, the dharana. The dharana is, you see, we have to be able to be absolutely positive, virtuous. Baba is the ocean of virtues. We have to have virtues. We have to make sure, as Baba was telling us for a long, long period of time, to not have waste thoughts. Because only when the mind is really working with these disciplines of positive, pure thought, for which, of course, the knowledge of drama is very essential, because drama knowledge is whether you make a mistake or not, whether somebody else makes a mistake or not, whatever it is absolutely fine. And you do not go back to it. You let it go, you let it be. And continue with your accumulation of beautiful thoughts. Because then only you can really soar, you see. Because it's all a game, it's all a drama, it's all a movie. And these things that people, regular people, give a lot of importance to, as to it's good or it's bad, Baba says, it's not about that. It's about, am I with Baba all the time? Am I experimenting with all the different ways and methods and processes and disciplines and this and that, so that I'm making myself skilled, you know? Am I really making myself skilled in the use of the powers? Am I really, you know, taking these virtues that Baba, you know, he is the ocean of virtues, and he has given some virtues to all his children, like seeds. And then we have to grow them through yoga, through digesting the knowledge and all of this, you see. And then when it becomes the moment, which is a fixed time when Baba comes, whether he comes or doesn't come, but there's still a fixed time when Baba comes. And we want to make ourselves sing internally at that moment. Right? And then there's a connection. And the connection is a union. You know, the yoga means the union or the communion of I and Baba. And that's what Raja Yoga is all about. And then all the drama that goes on. And there's lots and lots of drama going on all around the place. All that notwithstanding, you know, Baba makes us connect. And of course, all of this is done in the context of, which he tells in every single Murli, you know, the world destruction is absolutely, definitely going to happen. You know, he's been telling us this for 80 years. I mean, yes. Definitely going to happen. And what is that all about? It's the state of chaos that is happening more and more and more and more, whether it's inside your heart, inside your mind, inside your house, in your body, in the world outside, in the environmental, political, economic, whatever, whatever. It's just continuous, more and more chaos, more and more stress, more and more trouble. And our practice is to stay always above it, no matter what it is, you know. And Baba has just taken us slowly, 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 a step at a time, ahead and ahead and ahead, so that we become really able to manage any kind of upheaval, whatever it happens to be, and still enjoy these precious few moments where the soul and Baba can be together, you know. And when Baba comes, you see, in different seasons we see slightly different things happening. And last season was really all about, you know, appreciating that I, how amazing it is that I happen to be one of those who became his child, who became his student, who became a member of this extraordinary divine family, and we have access to him, and he has access to us, you know, when he is saying, Va, Meri Bachi, and the Bachi say, Va, Baba, and Va, Bachi, and wow, how amazing. And this is every Kalpa. And any second now, it can be not. You know. So giving the return also includes all of the accumulated experience that we have had over the years. Because the confluence age now is very different from what it was 40 or so years ago when the service started here in London. The energy was different. The world was a very different place. It was fresh. It was young. There was energy. There was power and so on. And we have all these memories with us, you see. And giving the return also has to be about passing that on. And you remember how much Daddy Janki has been aware within herself of giving the return, in the sense that she really wants everyone to experience Baba the way she experienced Baba, through the stories, through the memories that she was sharing, you see, with us for such a long time. Because these things are the reality which sustain us internally. Because externally, the world is, you know, it's the convergence, it's the confluence. Externally, everything is falling apart. And we are part of this other energy that's bringing everything together. And the new child of a new age is coming through. And it's carried on this absolutely pure, positive, empowered mentality that happens to us when we've absorbed all the things that Baba has said. And probably the most tangible thing about Baba is the Murli, which is black and white on a piece of paper, or multicolored on an iPad, or whatever it is that you read your Murli on. But, you know, Baba is incorporeal. He is so subtle. Brahma Baba, people are saying, oh, he's looking like he's, you know, getting ready to even shift his situation, and you know, there's definitely this sense that the Yajna is moving on. So many people are moving into the advance party and all this kind of thing. But for those of us who are here, We have to be these containers of that energy and the, what you can say is producers of more of it, and keep it flying, keep it running. Because of course there is always the negative energy that comes along, and the polarities of the extreme positive and the extreme negative are happening in many different areas and many dimensions, and we have to be just this pure, stable, steady, laughing being of light who is enjoying how everything magically transforms. Do you feel? And so this is really, I think, the preparation where we can say to Baba, yes, I'm here, I'm present, I'm with you, let's go, you know, to whatever the next bit is. So these are a few thoughts. I'm not quite sure what time we're supposed to continue to. 8:30, okay, so we have a little bit more time. Does anybody have any question or anything you would like to add? Or yeah, there are a few. The polarities, I will repeat your question. Are the polarities essential to push you up? I feel so. I feel that wherever there is Baba, there's also the force of evil, equal. And in the world, there are these incredible polarities, intense oppositions among the religions, between men and women, between young and old, between north and south, east and west, liberal and conservative, all these different pairs of opposites. They're going more and more extreme. And I feel that they have to reach an extreme. Baba has said that ati so ant, you know, this expression, that whenever there is the extreme, it's over. Another thing that we hear about or talk about is these J-curve graphs, you know, about human population and everything going into exponential extreme. And we know that the J-curve graph, when it hits the extreme point, it doesn't just go through the roof and keep going. It gets to a certain point and then it goes absolutely from top to bottom in one go, you see. And I think that this is really the energy that is happening now. We're getting to that point where we have to be ready for that peak to zero. And I think this is also why we practice silence. It's almost as if time will have to stop for at least 1 second and then reset itself. Because everything has to go back to the beginning, and it can't go to the beginning until it's reached this extreme, you know. So I think there is something very important in that area going on. You had a question. You have to speak a little louder. Oh, a lot of people have this question. The question is, has the confluence age gone through its golden, silver, copper and iron stage? Yeah, a lot of people look at it like that, but I don't. Because the confluence age is not starting at a peak point and fizzling out. It's really starting at a point and reaching an intensity. So I don't really look at it as going through its gold and silver, copper and iron stage. There are plenty of reasons why one could think that. And the Yagya, the early days of the Yagya are in a sense often romanticized, but I don't think they were so easy days. Sometimes Daddy would tell us that, you know, we did all the hard work and you have got all the ready-made, you know, chocolates with all of the ruminations and figuring out. And, you know, sometimes people say, well, the knowledge has been changing. It's definitely been evolving. And Shiv Baba, you know, he's a non-human. And people have a tendency to anthropomorphize him, which is to make him into a human. And he's resolutely not a human. And never will be. But he is the father of all the human souls. But he isn't a human in the sense of the human condition. He isn't a human in the sense of preoccupation with right and wrong and good and bad. He isn't a human in the sense of, you know, worried about the future and full of regrets about the past. He's very different, you know. And he wants us to get onto his level, you see. So what goes on in the confluence age is really very extraordinary. And I think that we only see from our own angle, you know. But there is enough information in the Murlis for us to be able to note that, you know, the confluence age doesn't really operate the same way as the gold and silver and copper iron ages do. The confluence age is a state of consciousness in a way. And it's superimposed on the Iron Age and on the Golden Age because there is this this aspect of the destruction and the return to the soul world of all the souls happening in the middle of the Confluence Age. And the end of the Confluence Age comes after all the reconstruction and the resetting of the new civilization. So, I mean, there's a whole lot more to the story yet. You know, we haven't finished this book. It's still going. And I think also, in the beginning, Baba was full of magic and playful. And he also goes through being the father, the beloved, the magical, you know, that whole thing. And then he becomes the teacher. He becomes the guru. You know, he's growing us up. And he's also training us. He says we're a spiritual army. We are spiritual warriors. So we have to become skilled in the arts of war against Maya. And there's this whole process of maturing. So when a person is a child and there's all of that wonder of being a child, you may equate that to a golden age, a golden period. But Baba has also said that what will happen at the end will be like what happened at the beginning. So that even doesn't fit the procedure of gold, silver, copper and iron. So I think that there is this exam going on, which I equate as this power to keep on going on. We have to, you know, we have to have this tremendous amount of resilience and fortitude to get through this particular part where, in a way, for many people, the going is getting tough and things are full of uncertainty and the vision is not quite as clear as it was when it was first created, you know. And Baba has told us many times that a point will come when all of a sudden the disguise will fall off, you know, and we will be recognized. And he doesn't want us to be recognized until we're ready to be recognized. So, you know, while we're under construction, you know, you don't display the product, and so we're still in that stage of getting ourselves ready. But I think also, you know, there are different analogies that he's made where, you know, you have to, there's a kind of a toughening and a hardening that also has to take place. Sometimes he calls us diamonds, and diamonds are very hard and they're very beautiful. He calls us roses, which have big thorns also, you know. And so we are thorny roses, but roses without thorns, that's camellias or something, you know. It's not the same. The ideas people have that have been generated with the religions and these sort of romantic heavenly ideas that are there, along with fairy tales and Cinderella and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and the Sleeping Beauty and so on, as for the child, you know. But we also are, I think he really wants us to be in our maturity, in our wisdom, things like tough love, things like, you know, you have to be very sensitive but not sentimental. you have to be very sensitive to be able to connect with God. He's so subtle. But we also have to be very resilient and not get out of order over the slightest little stuff that goes on, you know. And also he wants all of us to be in harmony, which is quite a difficult thing, because each and every one of us is dramatically different from the next one. Not just slightly different. Hugely different. But, you know, the beauty of the civilization, the people that Baba is creating, when that harmony sings, then everybody can see what that'll turn into in terms of the physical golden age, you know? I'm running out of talk capacity. But we still have a few more minutes if anybody else would like to raise something. Yes, please. I think that it's part of our practice, our discipline, our work. All the things I mentioned a little bit earlier, they all add up to, yes, bring it on, you know. we do have to get into our power, stay in our power, and move forward, you know. I even think that when you're strong, when your thought is really pure and positive, and you don't take things in a negative way, then you're not really trying to protect yourself. You're enjoying the game. And you feel it's par for the course, you know. And there will be all kinds of depressed people around, but, you know, we do have access to Baba's energy, which is no small thing. It's really, really big. But unless we do that churning work and that dharana and that yoga discipline and practice, we will not be able to connect with it. We'll not be able to use it. You know, he says, I'm here, use me. Excuse me. Use me. We don't do it. And I think it's really a lot to do with, you know, we're still in a few of the mentalities that we acquired in our various religious practices, where, you know, people believe that, you know, saying that you can work with God and be an instrument of God and all that, there's something really wrong with that, you know. So the people will kind of avoid it, but he says, no, you know, you don't have to worry about that. I really am God, and you really are my instruments, and let's go, you know. What are you waiting for? What are you afraid of? So I think that we do have to take this step of courage and trust, you know, that yes, you know, this is everything's going according to plan. Even if things are, you know, going up and down and all this turbulence and so on, it's all part of the plan. And go with it and not worry about it. And take it lightly, take it positively, take it easy. And even if something goes really, really wrong and you can blame yourself and blame your colleagues or whatever, he will say, oh, it's a drama. You know, we did it like this the last time. What's wrong? We made it. No problem. Keep going. Never mind. You know, it's really a very powerful aspect of jnana to, it's fine, let go, it doesn't matter. Okay, you messed up. Oh, so what? You know, start again, do more, no problem. Because in the way of the world, it's, oh, you know, I made this mistake, it should have been, it wasn't, and well, We waste a lot of time in that. And, I mean, there are tragedies that happen, you know. Sometimes we see somebody leaving the body all of a sudden. Some, you know, we could analyze it and say, oh, they didn't take care of themselves, or they should have this or could have that. And Baba will say, it's fixed in the drama. Don't give it another thought. Okay, it's a surprise, but just get used to it quickly and move on, you see, because every single one of us is immortal. And every single one of us has a fixed part in drama. You know, the whole thing of predestination really helps us to let go of what happens and just move on. It really, really makes us light and easy. So, no problem. Yes, please. Patrice, you had something? No. Good. Okay. So enjoy the confluence age. I tell you a nice little analogy. Just a couple of days ago, I was in the Masai Mara safari park. It's not a park like Disneyland by any means. It's a huge area of territory which is completely wild, and there are no roads. There's a few tracks, and you have to drive through rivers, and your car may turn upside down or this or that, you know. And these drivers were really good. And he would just say, hold on, and you go, really like a roller coaster. And the confluence age is like that, you know, hold on, don't jump out, it's okay. And we're in it for the ride all the way to the end. And Baba is with us, you know. So it's okay. We may have some expectations. We think everything should be a piece of cake or a bowl of cherries or something like this. No, it's not. It's the wild and woolly world of the confluence age, but it's good fun and full of drama, full of mystery, full of beauty, full of everything. There is no greater movie than this one, with all the elements. I mean, and the worst possible thing is for everything to be perfect all the time. It'd be so boring, wouldn't it? We wouldn't be able to learn anything. We wouldn't be able to experience the intensities if we didn't have, you know, the valleys in between. And there is a saying that mountains are only mountains because of the valleys in between. And if everything is a peak experience all the time, it's not a peak experience anymore. So this all the contrasts of our experiences is what makes it so so wonderful. Yeah. So, enjoy the coming season and whatever it will bring, because of course there's lots of uncertainty, and we will go with it. Yeah. So, Om Shanti. Let's have a few moments of silence.